John 6, 43-45. Jesus addressing the Jews. "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me." This, of course, is a part of a long, continuing discourse with these Jews. I want to be very simple, very short in this discourse. There's a massive amount of material here, of course, that needs developing, but I want to fix on one point. I want to home in on one point, and I want to fix that in your heart, in your mind. Whoever's listening to me, I really want you to grasp what Jesus is saying here. The first thing I want you to see here is the issue that is at stake here. It's quite clear. It's coming to Christ. It's coming to me. Look at verse 45. "Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me." It's coming to Christ. As I say, it's a part of a long discourse here. Verse 40. "My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Coming to Christ, looking to Christ, believing in Christ, coming to everlasting life, being raised up to everlasting bliss at the last day. Then you had it in verse 35. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." You have it in verse 29. "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Believe. Come. Look. Come to me. And I will raise him up at the last day. Will never go hungry. Will never be thirsty. Will have everlasting life. Raised up to everlasting bliss. And it's all coming to Christ. We have the same in chapter 5 in verse 24. "I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." And of course, we had the same in John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The issue is clear here. It's coming to Christ, is believing Christ, is looking to Christ, is receiving Christ. "To as many as received him, to as many as welcomed him," John chapter 1, 11-13. So it's the receiving of Christ, it's the coming to Christ, it's the believing on Christ, and having everlasting life, everlasting joy. That's the issue here. But the issue moves on to this. The sinner, when he hears this, what is the response? Well, the Jews are grumbling here. But that's only the surface of it. The truth is, as we saw in chapter 1 and verse 11, Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. In John 5:40, those who heard him, Jesus says, "You will not come to me. You refuse to come to me." In verse 36 of chapter 6, our chapter here, "I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe." And now we have in verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Let's put all that together. The issue is this. You must come to Christ. Sinners must come to Christ. This is what God requires. John 6:29. Those who come to Christ will be everlastingly saved. But sinners, when they hear it, do not receive it, do not want it. They will not receive it. They still do not believe it. And now we read they cannot believe. The helplessness, the ruin, the deadness of sinners, the inability of sinners to repent and believe and receive Christ. Oh, they can hear the words with their ears, but hearing in their hearts, responding in their minds, responding in their wills, turning to Christ is impossible. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. The will is wrong. You will not, John 5:40. You still do not. Even though the greatest and freest and most sovereign gracious offers are made to sinners, they will not. Why talk in the third person? My friend, I'll talk in the second person. I'm talking to you. Christ is offered to you. The promise is, if you believe, look, receive, trust Christ, look to him, you will have everlasting salvation. The warning has been made clear. John 3, John 6, throughout these passages, the warnings are clear. If you will not come, you will perish. The offer is made, but I know that left to yourself, you will not come, you do not come, you still will not come, whatever offers are made, whatever arguments are used. And I know now, John 6:44, you cannot come. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. And now, verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. For sinners, is the drawing power, the effectual drawing power, the grace, the mercy, the sovereign goodness of God, drawing sinners by his Spirit. John 3, you must be born again. Let me put all these things together. Friend, listen to me. Here is your duty. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Here is your responsibility. You must do it. But here is your helplessness. You will not do it. You cannot do it. Here is your guilt. Here is the responsibility that is yours. Here is the stupidity that you show that you will not come. But here is your obstinacy. I'm being frank with you. Sinners are obstinate, stubborn, willfully against Christ. Dead, lost, hopeless, ruined. They cannot come. And yet they're invited. They're freely invited. And their duty and responsibility is to come. It is for you, my friend. Is there any hope? Yes. The mercy, the grace, the power, the sovereignty, the love of God. And it's all combining here in this passage to the great issue which I started with. To come to Christ. To come to Christ. If I can picture it, it's like a vise. I'll change the picture. It's like a circular vise. It's like a steel belt around the sinner. And we sort of tighten the belt. I tighten the belt as I preach. And wherever the sinner looks, wherever you look, my friend, I want to tighten the belt around you. What do I mean? If you look at one part of the tightening circle around you, what do you see? Your duty. You must repent. You must believe. You turn your eyes to another part of the belt, the encircling belt. What do you see? Your responsibility. You're accountable for it. Then again, you see your helplessness. Then you see your guilt. Then you see your obstinacy. Then you see your stupidity. Is there nowhere to go? Then you see the hope, the sovereign grace and power of God. And I would tighten this belt round you. I don't care which it is that moves you to it, to come to Christ. I don't care whether it's the love of God, your duty, your responsibility, your helplessness, whatever it is that drives you, draws you to Christ, I would that you were brought to Jesus. Are you clear? Jesus here is pressing this congregation to come to God. It is written in the prophets. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who looks to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Will you come to Christ? I'm telling you, you can't come, but I'm telling you, you must come. I'm telling you, you've got to come, but you will not come. But my hope is that in the preaching of this discourse, the setting forth of these great gospel principles, God will work in your heart and bring you to Christ. To Christ. I don't in the first instance want you to go to church. I don't want you to come to religion. I'm not after making you a Baptist. We can talk about all those things afterwards. The great issue is to come to Christ, to Jesus. For there is salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's all in Christ. Have you got the message this morning? The message, I mean, the thrust of the doctrine from Christ. What is it? You must come to Jesus. That's the great issue. Whoever you are and wherever you are, come to Jesus. I know you cannot by yourself. I know you will not by yourself. But I know it's your responsibility. And by God's grace, sinners do come. I address believers as I close. Believer, once we were dead in sins, but we've been saved by God's grace. Yes, you trusted Christ. Yes, you repented. But it was God who was working. It was God who was drawing. It was God who was saving. Give all the praise and the glory to him. Perhaps this hymn will help you. Ah, but for free and sovereign grace, I still had lived estranged from God, till hell had proved the destined place of my deserved but dread abode. But oh, amazed I see the hand that stopped me in my wild career. A miracle of grace I stand. The Lord hath taught my heart to fear his name, to trust his grace, to learn his will be my employ, till I shall see him face to face, himself my heaven, himself my joy. Well, there you are, friend. The offer is before you. The power is put before you. You don't have the power. God has the power. Come to Christ. Cry out to God. Look to Jesus now. And be everlastingly saved. If you refuse, you will perish. I plead with you. Do not refuse. Come to Jesus now.